Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and here's a timely question for a sweltering day. Who should have access to the beach in New Jersey, and who should decide who has access? The state is considering new rules to give more discretion over beach access to each locality along the Jersey Shore. This has some beachgoers and environmentalists up in arms because they expect it to mean less public access to the sand and the ocean. Or as it was reported by the Associated Press last week, quote, people who want to make sure they can get onto the sand in New Jersey without a court order swamped the governor's office with more than 1,000 Dear Governor Christie postcards on Wednesday asking him not to water down a right that dates to the Roman Empire. Unquote from the AP. A final public hearing on the issue will be held tomorrow night in Long Beach. We are very pleased to have with us to discuss this Bob Martin, Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Protection. We'll also touch on Governor Christie pulling New Jersey out of a 10-state regional cap-and-trade system last week, the reported drop in New Jersey's greenhouse gas emissions, and the fracking controversy, Garden State style. You've heard most of that as a New York story. Commissioner, thank you so much for coming in. Welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
So in 2007, the state enacted uniform beach access rules that were really strict, like requiring access every quarter mile. That was struck down as overly intrusive by the courts after the town of Avalon sued. By way of background, is that why we're here?
I mean, that's one of the major reasons. Those rules were struck down at that point in time. Once that happened, it was pretty much wide open. So it was very unclear to the towns. In a lot of cases, the towns went much more strict back to a different place. And that's not what we wanted. We wanted to enhance beach access. And that's why we've gone forward with new regulations.
Tell us more about your proposal, because as you can tell from that AP story, a lot of people seem to think it will mean less access for the general public to many Jersey Shore beaches.
No, we believe our approach is going to provide enhanced beach access, more beach access than even we have today. There are over 1,000 access beach points already in the state of New Jersey, which is wonderful. Our proposal is that we're going to keep those access points going and open and look to find other ways of enhancing it. The major way we're going to enhance that is with municipal plans. All the beach towns and in fact, any town that's or city that's on titled waters will come forward with a municipal access plan. That municipal access plan will have to be approved by the DEP. And we're working with all those towns right now. And we try to get away from this one-size-fits-all regulation. We wanted regulations where towns would come forward to the DEP and say, look, because of physical constraints or whatever, we can provide this much parking, but we can't provide these three access points, you know, onto the beach, but we can provide more parking over here, or we can provide more bath facilities over here. So trying to find the best combination for each of the towns going forward.
Listeners, want to ask the commissioner of the DEP about beach access in New Jersey? He's been good enough to come into our studio. I'll take your phone calls, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Big issue along the shore right now. There have been a few public hearings, the final one tomorrow night in Long Beach, 212-433-WNYC, or post your comment or question to our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. For Bob Martin, the New Jersey Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation or protection, So the Star-Ledger has an editorial that basically supports your plan because they don't like the one-size-fits-all approach. But it says this only makes sense if you oversee it to prevent towns from using this discretion to block beach access. Is that your intent?
Our intention is to put in the regulation structure of those plans coming back to us approving those plans. But we also have some sticks involved here where we can encourage the towns very strongly to move forward with these plans. The three things that we're going to use is, number one, we do have control over Green Acres funding. Some of these towns still want Green Acres funding. We can use that and prioritize them, the towns that give us plans versus the towns that don't. Beach replenishment money. And most of the beach, look at the storms we've had over the years. Most of the beach towns need to have beach replenishment money. We can prioritize that and which towns go in which order on that front. The last piece is permitting. Bottom line is, in New Jersey, for any beach town to maintain their beaches, they have to have a permit to maintain their beaches. They have to come to the DEP. If you put in a plan, we approve the plan, that plan will include a general permit to maintain your beaches. If you don't put forward a plan, you're going to have to come in for an individual permit. It's going to get a lot more scrutiny, and it gives us a lot more control over what they're going to do to their beaches.
So you do plan to use that leverage because, for example, the Star-Ledger in its editorial suggests that you require towns to submit a beach access plan rather than merely encourage them to do so, and that the state should create a priority list for state funds so towns with access plans get first dibs. It sounds like you're at least going to prioritize the funding as a stick. Yes?
Absolutely, Brian.
And will you require the towns to submit some kind of beach access plan as opposed to no plan?
Right now, there is not that requirement. I mean, we're looking at it as we finish up the regulation. Should we, shouldn't we? Right now, it's still voluntary from the towns, but we believe those three sticks are carrots, depends on how you look at it, are ways that we believe will get the towns to come with us. And we're in dialogues with virtually every single town that's on titled waters or beaches right now and discussing with them. So they're already aware of what we're doing. And you know what? Even towns that have in the past have been a little bit of a problem on it are now coming forward with plans that we believe are convinced will provide more beach access.
John in Monmouth County, you're on WNYC. Hello, John.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah, John Weber with the Surf Rider Foundation. I want to say, of course, the DEP didn't put forth the rule that they think would limit beach access. But in giving more power to the towns, what the DEP's not, they weren't counting on the fact that towns have historically limited access, and there aren't enough sticks in this rule proposal. For example, the commissioner says the stick of not letting towns have beach replenishment money or giving them a low priority. That sounds good on the radio. It sounds good in a soundbite, but it is not in the rule. If the DEP wants that, they need to put that in the rule, and right now it's not. The other problem with the plan, in addition to giving more power to the municipalities, is the public does not have an opportunity for participation as these municipal public access plans go through. They're going to go through their local planning board, go to the DEP. The DEP would presumably approve this plan regardless of what it says. And then it's supposed to go back to the town to incorporate in their master plan. Well, there's no chance for the public to participate unless you live in that town and go to that town's planning board meetings, which, I mean, let's face it, people don't do that. People don't go to those things. So there's really weak on public participation, and it's the DEP, E standing for environment, and it's the environmental groups that are against this. So that should tell the DEP that they've got it wrong on some level.
Commissioner?
John, you know, I understand, and in the Surf Riders, you guys have provided a lot of input to us, both at the hearings and otherwise, and we hear a lot of your issues. We're looking to see if there's things we can still change in the regulation that'll enhance some of the things you guys are identifying. But, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, I think there's a certain amount of DEP. We are very, you know, right now, what's in place right now gives the town complete control. Based by having the Avalon versus DEP case that was struck down. It struck down major provisions of the previous regulations. Virtually right now, the towns really have wide range of control. Right now, we're taking, in fact, a significant part of that back and setting new priorities for them. So I think you need to characterize it a little bit differently, John, is that the fact of the matter is the towns have complete control right now, and we're now putting a new paradigm in place to make that happen.
John, I'll let you come back one more time. Do you disagree with that?
Well, I appreciate what the commissioner said about taking what our specific instances into consideration or looking at them. I know there's people from DEP out there right now following up on some things said at the last public hearing, but I don't agree that the towns have total control right now. The Avalon court decision essentially struck out two sentences of the previous beach access rule, one on 24/7 access and one on connecting it to beach replenishment money. So I have a different read. I think it was a very narrow read. And one final thing, if beach access is a universal right given to every resident of New Jersey by the public trust doctrine, you can't have this rhetoric that talks about flexibility and one size doesn't fit all. Of course one size fits all, because it's a universal right. We don't have different free speech regulations in Arizona than in New York. It's because it's universal.
John, thank you. Commissioner, on that note?
I mean, and bottom line is one size does not fit all. Each of these towns have built up over time. There are just different barriers for parking. There are seawalls. There are a lot of other constraints. So just towns built up long before during this. And he's right. I mean, the public trust doctrine that everything's based on here, there are no laws in place under public trust doctrine. It goes way back, as you know, to the beginning of the state. And so but over time, towns have built up around different things, whether there's parking or no parking. And so the access issue is a little more complicated than that. Making it sound like that simple is not the simple case, and that's why we try to give the towns a little more flexibility.
Maybe this is one good example to drill a little further down on that. In Long Beach, according to the Cherry Hill Courier-Post, the town's population swells from 5,000 in the off-season to 75,000 in the summer, but the town has just one public bathroom for non-homeowner beachgoers a block from the beach in Bayview Park. Is that good enough in your opinion?
Well, we're talking to that township right now. They've been the poster child in the past of what people talk about non-beach access. But, I mean, you also got to take in perspective. There are probably three towns that have caused the problems that people complain about. That's about it. Out of all the other beach towns along the coast and the over 1,000 access points in the state, I think to pick on one beach town and pick it off and saying, wow, here's one. Well, look at all the other beach towns that provide massive access and massive access points. So, but we are working with that town specifically right now.
All right, with the New Jersey DEP Commissioner, Ron, also from Monmouth County. You're on WNYC. Hi, Ron.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Pretty good.
I would like to ask, how come New Jersey has been charging fees to get on beaches for years and other states? They don't, you know, they somehow get around that. It seems very expensive to go on a beach.
I mean, I'm not in charge of beach tags, but the purpose of that money for those towns provides for cleanup of the beaches. It provides for lifeguards. It provides for boats. It provides for safety, all those pieces to it. I mean, I don't know how other towns outside of New Jersey pay for it, but that budget does apply very directly, as from what I've seen in the past, directly to the towns. I can't speak for every town, but it's provide those services back to the public.
Thank you for your call. So let's go back to the Long Beach example for just a minute, since you identified that as one of the problem towns. Would your new proposal, they don't have zero beach access, but it sounds like they have limited access and limited amenities. Would your proposal use carrots and sticks for them to improve?
Yes, absolutely. And again, that's what we've found been very nice about. The mayor has already come forward and said, hey, let me talk to you about what we can do, either additional access points, additional parking, additional bath facilities, things like that that we're trying to figure out. And it's going to be tight there because of the easements and the property and the personal property that is people own at those beachfronts, I mean, or house those access points along the beach. So it becomes a little bit trickier as opposed to towns like Stone Harbor, where every street's an access point that's been built up over time, designed that way.
So politically, is this homeowners and builders versus everybody else?
No, I mean, that's been built up. That was built that way long ago. It just didn't just occur just now. So that's been in place already. But there's homeowners that have that have rights to where they are for their property, and we're trying to work with the town to figure out how do we get another additional easements access to the beach. And that's an ongoing discussion.
Let's change topics for our last few minutes and talk about New Jersey and global warming. I guess we have good news and controversial news. On Friday, the state reported that from 2007 to 2008, it reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 8%, and that's triple the national average. Then on the same day, Governor Christie announced he is pulling New Jersey out of a 10-state cap-and-trade system here in the Northeast for capping greenhouse gas emissions at a certain point and then letting states buy and sell them within that amount. That's cap-and-trade. Environmentalists are disappointed to incensed. Did the governor do this with your support?
Yes, he did. I provided that input to the governor. So did several members of both the cabinet and his staff. And here's how we looked at it and the way the governor explained it the other day. I mean, if you stand back from it, first off, I mean, the governor's been very clear that he believes climate change is real. And he also, you know, believes that man plays a key role in all that. But we also looked at the data and we saw that the REGI program has been ineffective. The report you cite came out from data based on 2008. We're always kind of a couple of years behind based on the data because it comes from the federal government. But the data showed that we've already achieved our goal for greenhouse gases, for lowering down to that level. We have to hit a target by 2020 under the Global Warming Response Act, we had to lower it down to 1990 levels. We are already at that level already in the state of New Jersey, and because we've already been doing policies that have been in place already, because we've shifted over to natural gas extensively, and we've gotten off coal. And the governor also believes that, you know, the things we've been doing in this administration, pushing more offshore wind, pushing more solar, shifting even more so to natural gas, will continue to lower greenhouse gases. He wants real solutions, not just something that's not an ineffective program.
Ineffective program. The New York Times editorial had an editorial page criticized the decision this way on Monday. It said greenhouse emissions from power plants in the region went down about 12% from 2008 to 2010 for many reasons, including lower natural gas prices. Programs like the regional initiative are estimated to have produced more than 10% of that decline. And it adds, the program has been remarkably successful, a model of vision and fortitude. Lacking that, Mr. Christie has given in to the corporate and Tea Party interests that revile all forms of cap and trade, letting down the other nine states trying to fight climate change. So first, on their estimate that 10% of the decline in regional greenhouse gases, or more than 10%, comes from this regional cap and trade system. Do you dispute the number?
First off, the New York Times is just wrong on this one. The bottom line is that, you know, the numbers we've seen already, I mean, and the numbers, I don't know those numbers specifically, but the bottom line is that we are going down, and it's got nothing to do with Reggie, with the Reggie program. The cap right now is set so high that there is no incentive for generators to move to other fuels or otherwise. They're moving already to other fuels automatically because, from the state of New Jersey, we've been pushing them from environmentally, for environmental reasons overall, not just greenhouse gases. It makes sense overall. Prices have been shifting to natural gas is very, very efficient from an effective point of view economically. And bottom line is, you know, coal is we've moved off coal. And the governor was very adamant that there's going to be no new coal generation in the state of New Jersey. He's adamant about that. And I think that's, again, going to keep driving down the solutions long term.
On the money, you talk about the money. The Times editorial says the system has created more than $700 million for clean energy programs. Wrong?
Yes, it has. I mean, that's an approximate number. I don't have the exact number, but that's pretty effective. In the state of New Jersey, we've gotten about $113 million over the last couple of years in that program, and that's gone to green programs. But you've got to keep in mind two things. New Jersey already, through a societal benefit charge on customers' bills right now, we generate almost $230 million a year that go into green energy programs already. So we've got a big program in place. Besides the fact that we're shifting, unlike any other states along the coast that were part of Reggie, we're shifting big time to offshore wind and solar. So basically, ratepayers are already paying that premium additionally because of that already. So we're investing very heavily from the state of New Jersey already in green programs.
And you mentioned natural gas, and that brings us to fracking, the controversial drilling method for natural gas that, as you know, is a huge issue in New York and Pennsylvania. Is it in New Jersey, too? Do we have that kind of shale and gas deposit system in a big way in the Garden State?
No, we don't. We don't have any Marcellus shale in New Jersey. There's a deeper shale way up in the New Jersey, just in a tip up in Sussex County that's about 10,000 feet deep. It's called the Utica Formation, but no one's even explored that yet. But it's just a tiny part, and nobody's drilling that deep yet at this point in time.
Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, decided that after Fukushima Daiichi in Japan, Germany's going to completely get off nuclear power. Did you see that?
I did see that.
And that's a country with 20% of its electricity or power generated by nuclear. Is there a lesson in that for the United States, in your opinion?
I mean, we've learned. I mean, if you want to go back to lessons learned, we've gone and looked at the lessons learned from Japan. And by and large, you know, there are lessons have to be learned from Japan. But, in New Jersey and the U.S., I mean, you know, the plants are run very safely. Over 50% of our electricity is generated in the state of New Jersey from nuclear. It's an important part. And it's all carbon free. And that's extremely important to the environment long term for the state of New Jersey. I mean, that's why we continue to be able to stay with those targets of moving down greenhouse gases at very low levels overall.
And we're going to be doing a separate segment later in this program, listeners, on Germany's decision. And among the questions we'll be asking them is, are they sacrificing global warming risks for lowering the possible risks from a nuclear accident? Also, if they're going to be more dependent on coal in Germany, we'll try to find out whether that's the case with more immediate environmental risks. So we will talk about that coming up regarding Germany. I want to thank Bob Martin. He's the DEP commissioner of the state of New Jersey. You want to just tell people where that final hearing on beach access is tomorrow night? Do you have? Oh, you don't have it. Okay, you don't have it in front of you. I do know it's. I do believe it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night in Long Beach. So I'm sure everybody can Google that and find
it's
out. The
one
exact
of our, one of our last four that we've had. We've had four. We've tried to be out there in the public and try to get a lot of public input on this process. And that's been pretty much the cornerstone of the Christie administration, getting input from all parties before we go forward with the regulations to try to shape them to the best answer.
Thank you very much for coming in. I really appreciate it again. Great.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, an unauthorized history of ESPN. Stay tuned.